praise you, Lord. Lord, we want to lift up your name this morning and praise you. And bring glory to your name, Lord God, as you are worthy of all our praise, Lord. You are worthy of all our praise, all our worship, Lord God. You are the one and only, Lord God, and you have redeemed us through Jesus, your Son, and we want to honor you for that and acknowledge that, Lord God, and just focus on you and all that you have for us, Lord God, in Christ Jesus. And just pray, Lord, that you would be in us and be with us, Lord, according to your word. Feel free to stand if you like. Who breaks the power of sin and darkness? Whose love is mighty and so much stronger? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder? Who leaves us breathless in awe and wonder? The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You would lay down your life. That I would be. Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Who rules a nation with truth and justice? Shines like the sun in all of its brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You would lay down your life. That I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done. Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, worthy, worthy. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You would lay down your life. That I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You would lay down your life. That I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I take for all that you've done. Thank you. Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
It's amazing grace. Does great things. He has done great things. He will do great things. We praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord God. There is no one else worthy of our praise.
None.
Let praise arise.
I will not fear the storm. My help is on.
darkness we were waiting, without hope, without light, till from heaven you came running. There was mercy in your eyes to fulfill the law and prophets. To a virgin came the word, from a throne of endless glory to a cradle in the dirt. Praise the suffering, you saw to the other side, knowing this was our salvation. Jesus, for our sake you died.
Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. Crown of glory,
heaven held its breath till that stone was moved for good, for the Lamb had conquered death. And the dead rose from their tomb, and the angels stood in awe, for the souls of all who come to the Father are restored. And the church of God was born, then the Spirit lit the flame. This gospel through the law shall not kneel, shall not remain. By his blood and in his name, in his freedom I am free. For the love of Jesus Christ, who has resurrected me. Awaken my soul.
I lift up my eyes to see the wonders of heaven opening over me. Your goodness abounds, you're taking my breath away with your irresistible love.
I behold whenever I call your name,
Redeemer and friend, cherished beyond all words, this love never ends. Morning by morning, your mercy awakens my soul. I lift up my eyes to see the wonders of
was a time that we needed prophetic praise, or prophetic worship. It's now, isn't it? I felt in my heart just the reminder of the power of praise and the truth of it being such a mighty weapon. Was it Psalm 148 or whatever, it talks about the high praises in our mouth, two-edged sword in our hand, and just letting praise arise and letting it produces and increases our faith. Let's faith
yes.
arise.
Yes.
And it
good.
Squelches, it diminishes, it breaks the spirit of fear that is constantly trying to pervade. And I mean, it's because it's so pervading, it's just often paralyzing, you know, without even sometimes realizing. And so let that be a word to our hearts this morning, that let praise arise, even in the face, especially in the face of storms and challenges. Amen?
Amen.
I'm going to look at my phone to read a scripture, and I get a little, just this instant, a little text from my granddaughter. Can she have a ride at 11:35? Anyhow, just... Right here.
You digress.
It will happen in an instant, in the twinkling of his eye, for when the last trumpet is sounded, the dead will come back to life. Ooh. We will be indestructible and will be transformed.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my.
All right. I'm
Do
there.
I need I transformation?
Yeah.
And indestructible. For we will discard our mortal clothes. I'm talking about these clothes, right? Our flesh. And slip into a body that is imperishable. What is mortal now will be exchanged for
immortality.
Woo! Wonder what that feels like. And when that which is mortal puts on immortality, and what now decays is exchanged for what will never decay, then the scripture will be fulfilled that says, death is swallowed up by a triumphant victory.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So death, like this, so death, tell me, where is your victory? Tell me, death, where is your sting? It is sin that gives death its sting, and the law that gives sin its power. But we thank God for giving us the victory as conquerors through our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
So now, one more verse. So now, beloved ones, stand firm, stable, and enduring. Live your lives in the flesh and in our immortality, knowing immortality is coming, yes? Live your lives with an unshakable confidence, for we know that we prosper and excel in every season by serving the Lord.
Amen.
Because we are assured that our union with the Lord makes our labor productive with fruit that endures.
Having done all to stand therefore. It is finished.
Hallelujah. Yes.
You ever wonder, like what I think it was Beth Moore said this recently, some time back, you ever wonder what you're going to look like? I've been seeing that and looking in the mirror and thinking, gotta be better than this. So, and I'm the only one that I don't really see what I look like except for what I look in the mirror. So it's anyhow. So Lord, remind us that this is not the end. This is not our final resting place. Thank you, Lord, for that. And remind us that through the what you accomplished on the cross takes away the sting of death, takes away the sting of sin even, and redeems us to yourself. And so, Lord, let there be freedom from fear.
Yes.
Freedom from anxiety. Lord, we choose not to yield to fear. Instead, we choose to yield to you, Lord Jesus, and your righteousness. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you for your word to us. Thank you that you are the Word. In Jesus' name.
Hey, Dave, could we pray for Brian Bach? The neighbor of mine across the street, and he got whacked by that variant, and he's in the hospital right now, and really kind of scared a bit right now.
Yeah.
And ask we pray for him, and Val, his wife.
Yes. Yeah, Bart.
And also my sister Donna, who had the lung transplant.
Yes.
The lungs themselves are doing great, but she got taken to the emergency room in the ambulance yesterday, or to the hospital in the ambulance, and they admitted her because her anti-rejection drug that she's taking, her body isn't responding well to it. So her kidneys are not doing well. So I talked to her last night about 10 o'clock her time, and she's in good spirits. but they need to figure out, because it's a medication she has to take.
Yeah.
And so, so just prayer that there would be wisdom there and that the body would start responding correctly and they would just be no more issues.
Yeah.
So, and that her spirits would stay high and positive.
Yeah. Tim. Oh. Oh yeah, I should get the mic on at some point. I'll get it. So yeah, let's pray. There are other, you know, we're aware of those that aren't in the hospital. There's just so much going around. Yes. And Wayne and Sherry lost a dear friend over the weekend, just yesterday. And there's so much going on. The beauty is that this brother knew the Lord, had a deep relationship with him. And so, but still, 61 years old, and left his wife and children, did?
They're gone now, but they're
grown, but yeah. So let's pray. Tiara, would you lead us?
I'll start.
Okay, yeah, start and join in.
Yeah, Lord, we just, you know, I think like what we've been talking about here this morning, what we've been singing about, Lord, that, you know, Lord, when it strikes right so close to home, Lord, with this, you know, this scourge of the COVID that was going on here, Lord, and our good friends, you know, in strong in stature, but they're in a very dark place right now, and I pray, Lord, that Lord, you would give them peace in the circumstance.
Yes. Yes.
You're in control of the situation, Lord God. And then as Brian's laying there face down in the with oxygen and all that going on there, Lord, I just pray that you just, we surround him, Lord, as we pray for him right now, Lord, there'd be a surrounding, just a, and that fear would be broken apart and dissolved. And then also give strength to Val, Lord, as she's
yes.
holding the line there. They're strong people, and we do know that they call upon your name, Lord, so hear their prayer, Lord. And
yes.
And reveal yourself to Brian, Lord, that
yes, Lord.
In a more personal and strong way, Lord, and out of this, Lord, bring him back to us healthy,
yes.
and
yes.
bring him back regenerated.
Yes.
In Jesus' name, I would pray.
We agree.
Lord, I lift up Barb's sister Donna
yes.
to you. She's had so many ups and downs through this lung transplant process. And Lord, she's so blessed to have new lungs. And I just pray that you would change whatever needs to be changed in the body then,
yes.
so that she will accept the drugs that she has to take to keep those lungs in her body and keep them working well and heal her kidneys and liver, Lord.
Yes.
May they not be overtaxed by this drug, Lord. I just pray that you would continue to keep her attitude and her spirits upbeat and positive and looking to you, hanging on to you, Lord, knowing that you are in control, and give her peace, Lord.
Yes.
I pray for the cold healing.
And Lord, I want to lift up Lila's son, Jason, and therefore mine by marriage, but I want to lift him up and him and his family and ask that you would pour your love out on the situation there, Lord. I know they're struggling, Lord God, but I pray that you would pour your love out on them. I pray that you would take away the veil, Lord God, from their eyes and allow them to see you, the resurrection and the life, Lord God, that they might, Lord God, that he might be able to trust you to give up his own life, Lord God, to live for you.
Yes.
I pray that you would open the eyes of his mind, Lord God, that you would give him a heart of flesh, Lord God, rather than a heart of stone. That you would open him up, Lord God, to your love and his family also. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Lord, we pray that in this we pray that you would heal our land.
Yes.
Lord, that's such a widespread, a wide open prayer, but that's the prayer for our world. Lord, heal certainly physically, but spiritually, Lord, heal hearts, mend lives, soften hearts. And Lord, just even in our own city, the needs, they're so great. And Lord, would you supernaturally use your church to mend and intersect with lives in our community, and that your spirit would be released to touch and to heal,
yes,
to redeem. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
It does look like I'm not going to have Sunday school, probably, so I just wanted to acknowledge that the Lord was going to speak the same thing downstairs that we learned and were singing about, the story of David and Goliath, and I just want to read the declaration that he made as he approached the enemy.
Yeah, that's good.
He said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. Today I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. And all those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is not the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands."
Thank you, Lord.
And that is a declaration of faith from a man that lived in an attitude of worship out in the field of the sheep.
Yes. Yeah.
And that is where the faith had to have been cultivated, to have that kind of faith.
Yeah.
At
such an early age.
Yeah. So we're in good company.
Amen. 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 Cause your spirit, O Lord, to rise up within us with that faith. That faith. Vigo.
Can I make an announcement?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So this weekend is the last full weekend at my current house.
Yay.
It's Saturday by 5 p.m. I have to be out and fully moved into a new house. And I have a crew already to help me move from Illyrica. Next Sunday, I was wondering if any of you would be blessed if you would come at 2:30 to our house to walk through every room and pray over the house, to dedicate it to God and for us, for his blessing and protection. Next week at 2:30. So the new house is next to the middle school off of Chapel. It's two houses up from the model home on the corner, but we'll repeat that next Sunday.
All right.
Excitement abounds. Are your class arriving?
The yard backs up to the arboretum, so it's on the left menu.
Very.
Announcement, worship night's Wednesday
night. And Fretton
Hot is tomorrow night at Jody Hughes' house, 7 p.m.
Chris.
We just had an offer accepted on the house at Sweet Home.
You just had an offer accepted on the sale of your house?
A purchase of a house.
Oh, the purchase of a house.
Yay. in
Sweet Home.
He was looking in Roseburg and Washington.
Sweet Home's not that far of a commute.
Yeah.
I actually enjoy it. I like Sweet Home.
I feel like that I need to share a breakthrough the Lord gave me today.
Oh, please.
But I can't do it without tears. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
My sister and her husband's home burned to the ground this week.
Oh,
They don't need it, you know, they're both in heaven with Jesus, but it just felt to me like, oh God, are you just erasing and wiping out every trace of that family? And he said to me this morning, no, I want you to look at that and see every time you picture that place, just a burn place now, that the things in this life that so consume us are not their concerns anymore.
Amen.
Their concern is me and my presence, and they have moved and graduated. They don't need that place, and you don't need a place to associate them with except
yes.
heaven, where you're going.
Yeah.
And I thank him for it. Just, it was hard to deal with, but...
Yeah.
It is, he's given me a positive thing to hold on to. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you,
Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
No. Yeah, and we needed that breakthrough. I needed that breakthrough. So, thank you, Lord. God is helping us to see the eternal. I mean, that's been our prayer. And as we heard last week, I'm actually going to refer to the video we watched last week. But God's shaking the things that need and can be shaken so that the things that can't be shaken will remain and hopefully visible. So, Marcy.
Challenge from the grave from Barb Trask. Just not really from her, but you know, she was such a scripture memorization person.
Yeah.
And the Lord has challenged me, and I just want to challenge all of you to memorize Psalm 91. It's not very long. It fits 4 3x5 cards. You can do it. It's pretty simple, and it has some things that flow really nicely. I just challenge you, especially in this season, to memorize it in honor of Barb and in honor of the Lord.
Yeah, even if it's just the first two verses.
Right.
I mean, at the very least. But let there be, don't allow there's, 12, 14, 15, there's quite a few verses in that. It's not 119, it's not 176.
It's the longest one I will have memorized, the longest psalm I will have memorized.
Yeah.
Down,
but you read through it, mm-hmm. and you realize, there's some powerful stuff in this verse.
Wouldn't it be great, though, if we could all recite it together from memory?
Yes.
In our young age, yes?
That's right.
I'm serious. Do not allow, just because our hard drive is pretty darn full, maybe it's time to do some deleting or some... Anyhow... That's if that were only possible.
Yeah.
But yes, good word. Good word. I can tell you the first two verses, and that's all. But it's and personalize it. You know, it's a psalm that you really should, as you're reading through it, you personalize it. Substitute your own name in there.
Yeah.
So.
Or just even substituting he for she if
you're a female. Yeah. Yeah.
It's a powerful song for this day and age right now.
Amen.
The
no
plague,
pestilence.
Plague that stalks at midday.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Arrows
powerful.
By night.
It's powerful.
Yeah. Good word. Well, hey, let's it's Labor Day weekend, so there's, you know, I know you don't have plans, and just start with a few pictures. Last Sunday we celebrated a 75th birthday there. Woo-hoo! With a big smile. Yes. Just scenes of fellowship last. And the display. Oh, my boy. Ah. So just thought you might appreciate a little visual. Sometimes we taste, but it's just good to look back and keep celebrating. Yes? Speaking of celebrations, we celebrated yesterday our youngest son, our baby. I can say that when he's not in here, right? His 30th birthday. And what I should have brought is a picture of his new baby. He got an 8-week-old Vizsla. That's not a car, that's a dog. And you'll see it soon, but go ahead, Kent.
As we're talking about anniversaries, Barbara and I will have been married 40 years today. All glory to God and Barbara.
That's true.
Pretty exciting stuff. I guess since we're talking about anniversaries, Karen and I celebrating 35 years, not to the day, but almost to the week, 35 years here in Philomath.
Right. Yeah.
You're working out pretty good.
That's incredible.
It's mine. I realized that. What was that?
I said, I guess your trial period is over.
Oh, my word. More than half of our lives. Way more than half of our lives.
Oh, yeah.
And many of us remember.
Yeah. Yes, you do. Yeah, shoot, I was barely, in fact, basically Daniel's age when, wow. Yeah, all the little kids. Well, I hope you have enjoyed this past month or so, we heard Marco's testimony. We heard Bob and Cheryl's testimony. We heard Joe and Cheryl's testimony. Bob preached do you have a part two?
I have 20 pages, got it whittled down.
Yeah, that was a good word. A really good word. So, and then last week, you know, Dr. Steve Schell. Anyone pull up that video, Sheep Among Wolves 2 on YouTube? Anybody? I encourage.
I've seen it.
Have you seen it?
I saw it at King's Grace. They showed some of the speakers on Wednesday nights at King's Grace.
Oh.
So they showed the whole thing. They showed a little clip also. And
Yeah, the little video that followed.
Yes,
which,
about how they...
Yeah, which is, I think, called The Unstoppable Church. I love that.
Yeah, because they look for a person, what do they call it? A
person, a play, a person of peace.
A person of peace, and then they ask the Lord to show them a person of peace in the village that they're going to or visit, and then they're led to a certain person, and they discipleship that person, and then that person discipleships more people in the village, and it's, of course, exponential, and they've got like a million people from one group that went out, or, you know, so many millions.
And that's just in the last few years, just really recent, and that's what Steve Shell was referring to, the remnant, just a handful of people willing to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit and go and do, you know, what he's saying and what he's leading, and asking, what part of my testimony should I share? And literally, that's so... In India, just in the last few years, 10 million people have been baptized. And then they talked about, you know, this, I'm repeating some of the stats, but more, they believe these groups that have gone out, they believe that there are now more Christians than communists in China, and that the fastest growing church in the world right now is in Iran, and that are predominantly led by, they're apparently Pentecostal churches that are predominantly led by women. And anyhow, so there was that video that's tacked on, but the video that Steve is referring to is A Sheep Among Wolves, which is very, very, I just challenge, it's a couple of hours. You don't have to watch the whole thing, but it's an incredible picture in to what's going on in the church around the world, and you won't get it on mainstream TV, of course. And so give it a look-see. I haven't watched the whole thing, but I've been encouraged by it. But I just wanted to take a few moments this morning and basically preach some of the notes that I took from last week's message. And I found it fascinating that all the R's that popped up, the remnant, what's the second one? Give me a second. I don't want to peek. My memory. I'll go on to the remnant and the revival that he's talking about. You know, praying that we ourselves would be revived more than just praying for revival. The third R is the one that I really want to focus on this morning: repent. I was not just pierced, but I was enlightened, and I want to talk about that. And of course, the fourth R is responsive, like Jesus was responsive. I was really pierced by that, and the fifth R I'll save until afterwards. Are that we need to hear. So I titled the message this morning, Putting the Apple Back. Did you remember him talking about putting the apple back on the tree? Of course, wishing that we, you know, it's not a wishful thinking, it's really a yielding to the Lordship of Jesus is simply what that is. So what else did you hear before I preach my notes? Just any other comments? Just something that was the Lord stirring your heart this past week, Joe?
Well, I was impressed that the fields are white even for harvest, even here. You know, so wherever the Lord has us walking here, it's good. It's not just something to be prayed, you know, Lord, how, what part of my testimony should I share with this person? It's like when I go to work, you know, or if we go to the grocery store or somewhere that we need, that I was, you know, convicted about being attentive to the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
If you point somebody out and, or, you know, or impresses upon us, you know, and starts conversation, you know, to, and then leads it, you know, and leads it to share part of our testimony with people we see every day at work.
Yeah.
And our chores, and, you know, whatever we have to do. So that's basically what, you know, the white fields are white for harvest.
Yeah.
Right here. Right or white or whatever it says.
Yeah. Marco.
Well, I want to pray for the people that are being prosecuted for being Christian. The people in China, Iran, Pakistan,
yeah.
There's a lot of people that are also being prosecuted and killed and all that stuff for being Christian. And
yes.
I heard that they're trying to get this person. I don't remember the exact story, you know, or the name of the person, but they're saying that in Islam, to become Christian is like denouncing their religion a lot. So they're trying to, the person is a lady, and they're actually going to put her to trial, and if she loses, the consequence is death.
Yeah.
So, but like, those are big things that God said that were going to be happening, and a lot is happening now, you know what I mean? Like, with the shots, or they're making it mandatory now for a lot of people to have a shot. And if you don't, you're fired, you can't work here, and in certain places they're putting people in jail. So like pretty soon we're not gonna be able to like shop and all that stuff, you know what I mean? Like, unless you're vaccinated, they're just I don't know, man, like, I think times are getting very close to. There's also a lot of ugly happening. There's a lot of good, but I want to pray for those that are being prosecuted for their faith and stuff like that. You know?
Yes, yes.
There's a lot of people that are going through that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And that is, you know, really, it's, you know, we get to respond to those around us, but there are places that we'll never go, but we can intercede in their behalf and cry out to God and praying for the church that is, you know, in so much of the video Sheep Among Wolves, so much of it is they've changed the voice, of course. They've garbled the voice. In fact, it sounds like a guy's voice, but it's a woman that's speaking. And just realizing, you know, they know that there is the risk, but realizing that far more important that they risk their lives for the sake of other people. And so the least that we can do is to be, you know, interceding and remembering, you know, what we can, that our prayers can impact around the world, even though our bodies remain here. But I love that description of that video, the unstoppable gospel. I just think that when I read that, it reminds me that no matter what comes, no matter the degree of persecution that comes, the gospel is unstoppable. It is unstoppable. We might be stoppable, but the Spirit of God within us is unstoppable. The Spirit, you know, as Barbara read, just that's what rose up in David. It was unstoppable as not only Goliath, but the Israelites and the Philistines saw. So, and that's, in fact, in my, God's always demonstrating, whether it's through the likes of David, Gideon, through the Exodus, through back even to Abraham and Sarah in their old age, giving birth to a nation. What seems impossible to us is more than possible to God, and God is constantly saying, it's not by power, it's not by might, it's not by the size of an army, not by what we see and tend to view as potential, it's by God's Spirit, only by God's Spirit. So remind us, O Lord, stir up within us a faith that is standing on God's word, not on power or might. Yes? And I mentioned the that's under the remnant that even, and I made that reference last week that even the size, it's just so easy to look at numbers and base potential on the basis of numbers or what the visible is. Revival, I'll just say that this is, Lord, revive me that I would fully become alive. If the Holy Spirit is the source of my life, I must allow Him to direct every aspect of my life. Yes? Which is verbatim Galatians 5:25. Does it sound like scripture? How about Ephesians 5:15? My prayer. I must be careful how I live in these days. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every single opportunity. For these are evil days. Again, thus saith the Lord. And I just want to speak to what Joe just said. We are people of routine. We go to work, we go to the store, we go to the mail. I mean, we're people of routine, and that's just how life is. There's so much routine. But what I realize is that just because I'm going to work or just because I'm going to the store, or just because I need to take my car to the garage, it's God uses those things to that my life would intersect with somebody else's life, and that I would recognize that God might be wanting me to say something or notice something. I was just on the way back yesterday between, left the office, it doesn't make a difference, and ran into my neighbor, and I'm always running into my neighbor. And he's usually a pretty mellow guy, and even though he was telling me and I could see it, he was amped up, he still was in his what would be amped up for him was still, I thought, pretty mild. But I could see there was just a fire that I hadn't seen before. And he says, I'm not a Christian like you, and I know that you're a man of peace, and just kind of, going down that road, I thought, oh, Patrick, how well do you know me? but he does know me, and I was just able to mostly just listen. I'm kind of like listening, okay, Lord, give me something cool to say, or Lord, give me a word of knowledge, and the Lord just said, listen to him, listen with your eyes, even not just with your ears, but with engaging that there is that connection. And even though there may not be, we kind of always want to see a miracle, we always want to see something, we want to see Goliath get slain, and yet just because we're not seeing stuff with our natural eyes doesn't mean that something in the supernatural is taking place. And so, Lord, stir in us that cause our spirits to become more awakened, more aware, more sensitive to what the Lord is saying, instead of, oh no, accident. There's so many things that we can be preoccupied with and even paralyzed by. I want to talk about repent, and this of course comes from, you can put the verse Matthew 28 up there. This is really the text that that Dr. Schell used last week, and I thought this was insightful. You know, wherever we go, you know, looking to make disciples of all people, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and how he, you know, shared about the three separate baptisms, that we would, the baptism of the Father, to that we would repent and have a repentant heart, the baptism of the Son, that we would believe. And we'll talk a little bit about, you know, being responsive, but the baptism of the Spirit, that we would receive. And so just that area of repenting, I was drawn to. He made reference to Ephesians 2, the church at Ephesus that gets the word from the Lord that talks about remember, and here's another R there, remember and repent. Let me read that word to the church at Ephesus. I know all that you've done for me. You've worked hard and persevered. I know that you don't tolerate evil. You have tested. It lists, you know, these five things that he commends the church for. I know that you don't tolerate evil. You have tested those who claim to be apostles and proved that they are not, for they were imposters. I also know how you bravely endured trials and persecutions because of my name. Yet, even enduring all that, you did not become discouraged. But I have this against you. You abandoned the passionate love you had for me at the beginning. Remember or think about how far you've fallen. Repent and do the works of love you did at first. I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place of influence if you don't repent. The one whose heart is open, let him listen carefully to what the Spirit is saying now to all the churches. And to the one who overcomes, I will give access to feast on the fruit of the tree of life that is found in the paradise of God. So I mentioned that, you know, that, you know, he makes reference to, you know, five qualities that many, maybe even most churches, I don't know, that demonstrate, you know, whether it's the working for the kingdom, the persevering, the not being tolerant of sin, the examining of claims of ministries and such, and then enduring trials bravely. Yet the scripture, there must be a passion for Christ, a passionate love for Christ. Otherwise, there is a weakening of both power and our testimony. You recognize that I use the Passion Translation a lot these days. Anybody, you see that? Don't always, but I've just been challenged. And what's interesting is I've been reading about the editor of that translation. His name is Brian Simmons. I don't know if you've read or seen anything, but he's done some podcasts, and often he'll invite his wife, Brenda, to join him. And he introduces both of them like this, because their ministry is the Passion and Fire Ministries. He'll go, I'm passion and she's fire. Maybe it's vice versa, I can't remember, but I just thought that. I thought, what a great description that we could, you know, refer to ourselves as passion and fire. You know, I want both. And that should be an aspiration that each, as a believer, that it would be, you know, Lord, I want to be known as one that's passionate for you, passionately in love with you, and as well as having a passion for people, of course, but that there would be that fire of the Spirit. And so I just, that's under you know, Lord, stir up, renew, revive our passion for the Lord. We've seen the film, The Passion of the Christ. Let there be a passion for Christ. Yes? You want some a Greek lesson real quick? How can you say no? Yes? The Greek word for first, we recognize protos, which means foremost or best or paramount or supreme, even crowning. I like this, number one. You know, it's that reference to an exclusive. Jesus is referencing, you know, exclusivity, if you will, an exclusive love that has first place in our hearts above all else. First love. It's a love that will be expressed by our passionate devotion to Jesus Christ and seen in a relationship with others. The Greek word, I was taken back. I know what repent means. Don't you know what repent means? I mean, it's like, yes, it's not just saying I'm sorry. It's asking for forgiveness. It's an about face. I did this wrong. I'm repenting. I'm doing a 180. I'm gonna go on this. And so, you know, I understand that, but I don't think I'd ever heard. And I'm trying to remember if I ever looked up the Greek word for repent. Sure, I have, but here it's metanoia. Metanoia, and I found that it's also in Merriam-Webster's dictionary. I don't think I've ever used that. I metanoia. But it means more than simply changing one's mind. It means to take another mind. You know, Steve, you know, referenced and talked extensively about that. Every believer needs to turn from his or her error and take another mind. In other words, how about the mind of Christ? Yes? And so it's Steve referenced it, surrender. It's a from here forward more than a looking back on the past. It's more to do with from here forward. A putting, if you will, a putting the apple back. It's surrendering, not my will anymore, but yours, O Lord, yours be done. And that's, you know, that's what repentance is. Exchanging, not just changing one's, well, I guess it would be a changing of one's mind, but I like it better said, to take another mind. And something that I, in reference to the paradise, that the last part of that scripture, the paradise of God is really what's found in the hearts of those where Jesus dwells. You know, it has more to that than the tree of life is, you know, Christ within us, the hope of glory. You know, there we're talking about the fruit of that tree is reserved for those who overcome. So give us ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Yes? The last two, responsive mode. I am, if I were to describe, and this is mine, I think I am more described by one who reacts than one who responds. You know, when I say react in the flesh or react to what I see visibly rather than responding to what the Holy Spirit might be doing or saying. I had someone recently, I shared this with some of the guys this past week, say something to me that was rude, offensive, and I wanted to react. If they wouldn't have driven off so fast, I'm sure I would have said something myself. But I just see myself too often in that mode. Just, well, you know, back at you. Or maybe not that, but I just, more than anything, what I'm trying to describe is that as I'm riding away on my bicycle, all I could think about was that little and what I, you know, would have liked to have said, or and I mean I'm thinking about this for 10 or 15 minutes as I'm writing. So I mean it's I'm like my neighbor. I'm kind of amped up a little bit. How dare that little young lady, not so ladylike. And yet my response needed to be like Marcos, God bless you. Or I guess maybe that was the response.
That's what I got.
That's what you got. Yeah.
Surely, like, before he stopped to that, like, as soon as they said that, that was it.
Yeah. And like Joe's friend who said in response to, you know, to Joe's, you know, whatever Joe was saying, he says, hey, take my lunch. Remember that? Take my lunch. And without, and that's all he said. Then as he went off, unbeknownst to Joe, to fast and pray. And I'm just thinking that those are pictures of being responsive like Jesus was, only doing what he saw the Father doing, only saying what he saw the Father saying. And so what, even though the flesh naturally wants to react, what I need through the power of the Holy Spirit is to, instead of looking at that and think and trying to think of something to, you know, to react, that okay, Holy Spirit, this is the time I need to think about how you would want me to respond, and letting that be the default. Instead of, because what if the Lord had a word of knowledge for me to give to this person or to that person, and because I was so preoccupied with my reaction that I was oblivious to what the Holy Spirit is saying. How can I possibly hear or respond to the Holy Spirit when I am preoccupied with my rights or my offense? So I repented. The last R is risk. I that's the one thing I felt like throughout the week. We talk about, okay, if I can get past reacting to people, if I can really be in responsive mode like I was with my neighbor trying to listen, you know, what if I go up to someone, you know, what if Joe, for example, last week, who felt the need to step up and to pray for Kent, what if Kent were to stand up and say back to him, like, get your hands off me, buddy. My back is fine. And furthermore, you know, or, I mean, and of course, that's kind of, it is funny because even if it were true, that's not what Kent would have said. He would have said, like he did, thank you, Lord, for the prayer. But so often, you know, we're afraid that if I step out, what if that's just me? You know, what if that is not the Holy Spirit? And I've I can't think of an example, but there's many times where I just felt like, oh, that was not the Holy Spirit. And yet, I think unless we are willing, you know, to take a risk, it means that we're humbling ourselves, because what we're risk really shouldn't even be in our vocabulary, because we're simply, if all we care about is what God thinks or what God wants, then we're not concerned about what other people think and how we might look. See, I'm the fear of man. You'd think, as old as I am, I would have grown out of the fear of man. And I am growing, but it still has more of a hold than I want to admit. And so that's why I'll use the word risk and just, okay, I love the fact that Peter is, you know, his example. And there's so many people in that we get to see them make mistakes and how God uses them in spite of their mistakes and even redeems. And so what I'm saying is, may God put a spirit of love in our hearts, that we're more willing, you know, that we're willing to risk falling on our face because our love for people is so great that it really doesn't make any difference and sometimes you will say, like, you know, I think that there are times where you will plant a seed and you're doing exactly what God asked you to do, and it's rejected. You know, get out of my face. Or, you know, it may have been even some of what, you know, some of us have even done ourselves, but realizing that that there is a planting when we're responsive to reaching out and obediently sharing what the Lord has put on our heart, that a seed is planted and it takes a while for it to germinate. And so our part isn't to make it grow. Our part is just simply to sow, to plant the seed. So may God stir within us, not just a heart that is reviving, repenting, responsive, but willing to take risk. And always asking, Holy Spirit, you know, where do you want me to go today, and who do you want me to talk to? And not worrying about the what. Kent?
Yes.
I looked like you were getting ready to
say something.
Say something.
I got something to say. Do not be discouraged when you do take that step.
Yeah.
And it does blow up. You know, it seems like it had the opposite effect, because I know in my spirit, when I was first coming to the Lord, there was turmoil in my spirit. If someone spoke truth to me, then my flesh was offended and I reared up.
Yeah.
And I, you know, and so if that is happening when you share with somebody, don't look at it as a bad thing. Look at it as a good thing, because he felt it or she felt it in her spirit.
Yeah.
And that's what made it so uncomfortable for them, and they may have blew up, but they were getting in touch with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Don't get discouraged in those situations.
Yeah.
Be happy and glad that, you know, the Holy Spirit is doing work. You're not doing work.
Instead of being discouraged in the natural, be encouraged.
Yep.
Yes. Joe.
Plus, remember that the devil moves in immediately after you do something like that and tries to tell you that you...
Yeah. What are you doing?
Your words didn't come out right.
Yes.
But take... take heart because God doesn't speak like that.
Yeah.
So you know it's the devil.
I just think that is one of the greatest prayers that the daily prayer is, Lord, Holy Spirit, where are you leading today and who are you putting in my path? And then letting him direct the rest. I got a prayer that I want to pray for you this morning. It's out of Psalm 51. Recognize that psalm? That's the psalm that David prayed after Nathan confronted him with his sin with Bathsheba. Of course, this was like a year later, but that's when the confrontation came. And we know, create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit within me. The two verses I want to pray are out of verse 6 and verse 10 of Psalm 51. So pray with me. In fact, would you repeat this prayer after me? Dear Lord Jesus.
Dear Lord Jesus.
I know that you delight to set your truth deep in my spirit.
I know that you delight to set your truth deep in my spirit.
So come into the hidden places of my heart.
So come into the hidden places of my heart.
And teach me wisdom.
Teach me.
Keep creating in me a clean heart.
Keep creating in me a clean heart.
Fill me with pure thoughts and holy desires.
Fill me with pure thoughts and holy desires.
Ready to please you.
Ready to please you.
In Jesus' name. Amen. Good prayer. So we stand. Would you like a blessing?
Sure.
May the Spirit of the living God fall fresh on you.
Amen.
Giving you ears to hear and a heart to respond. In Jesus' name. Amen.